Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The issue of three divorces and one pronouncement. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulihim Kareem, wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا وهدى We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and in understanding and in guidance and in wisdom. May He make this lesson enjoyable and beneficial for you, inshallah ta'ala. And may He give us the understanding of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as taught by our ulama, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah today, respected brothers in Islam, after saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, inshallah today we will be covering a new topic in the lessons of the fiqh of marriage. And these lessons were taught by our noble Shaykh in Masjid al-Nabawi, Shaykh Muhammad Salim, Atiyah Muhammad Salim. And Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, he was one of the leading teachers in the Masjid of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the main scholars who was conveying the knowledge from his teachers, including the noble Mauritanian scholar Amin Shankiti, who took the knowledge from his teachers going back to the four Imams, and then from there going back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of these Imams, they convey the knowledge to us, so that when we hear this fiqh, we're hearing the words and the knowledge and the understanding that was communicated by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go together, inshallah, to this chapter on the divorce, Bab al-Talaq. And inshallah, I believe, if you recall from last time, we had covered an important issue about the divorce, which is that the man who divorces his wife during the state of menstruation. That was the issue we covered last time. When a person, he says the word of divorce to his wife, you are divorced, anti taliq in Arabic. And the woman, his wife, she is in the state of menstruation. She is having her monthly cycle. So what did the scholars say about this issue? Does anybody remember from the previous lesson about divorce during the menses? Is this, first of all, is this something that is from the sunnah? Is it something allowed? Or is it something that is considered halal? To divorce the wife while she's in the state of the menses. Is it allowed to do that? Does anybody recall? Not allowed, that's right. We're not allowed. The Prophet ﷺ, he forbade the divorce during the menstruation. And we had the hadith last time that a sahabi, he divorced his wife in the menstruation, and he said, take her back. Take her back, wait till she becomes pure, and then has a menstruation and becomes pure again. And then, if you like, you can divorce her or you can keep her. If you remember that hadith from last time. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he was teaching that it is not allowed, it's not correct to divorce one's wife during the state of the menstruation. He shouldn't do that. What he should do is divorce her when she's in a state of purity. State of purity. Where he didn't touch her. He didn't touch her. Right? And the reason for that, we talked about the wisdom. That if he divorces her when she's in her menses, women are in a different state of mind. When the blood is coming out, they're in an emotional state, and usually the cause of divorce, the man uttering the divorce, is due to the argumentation or the dispute that takes place. So the woman in that state of mind, she's not able to please her husband or come to a common understanding with her husband. So he might issue the divorce hastily, based upon a problem that might be easily resolved had the woman not be in the state of menses. So one of the wisdoms of Ulama mentioned is so that not to divorce the woman in that state where she's not able to rationally please her husband and make him happy with her. And also we mentioned what the scholars have said is that normally the woman and the husband, they have that relation, the marital relation, but during the menses he's not able to have the relations with her. So that could lead to some feeling of the husband not being pleased with his wife. And also the scholars had mentioned that when she's in the state of the purity and he touched her, he had relations with her, he's still not allowed to divorce her. Right? It only has to be the purity where he hasn't had a relation with her. That's the time when it's allowed to issue the divorce. You remember that? I think some of you might not have been there last time. So let me, I'll just review these very, very quickly. So divorcing while she's in the state of menses, it's haram. It's not allowed. But the four imams, they all agreed that if a person did that, if he did that, would the divorce count?
No.
It would be sinful, right? It would be sinful. But the four imams, they said, it would still count as a divorce. It would count. He did something wrong, but the divorce, it still counts. Right? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he told the Sahabi to take your wife back. So he wouldn't be taking her back if the divorce didn't count. She would still be his wife. So he said, take her back. That means when he said, I divorce you, that divorce counted. And then he said, take her back. Right? So the divorce, it's not correct to do that. It's the Prophet system forbade that. But if somebody did say it, it would count. It would count during the menstruation. Somebody has his wife, she's in a state of period, and he says, you're divorced. He's not supposed to do that, right? Because she's in that state. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he forbade divorcing the wife in the menstruation. But if he did say it anyway, he gets a sin, but the divorce counts. It does count.
So either way it goes.
Either way it goes. It still counts, whether she's menstruating or not, but he's doing a sin if he divorces her when she's menstruating. And you remember how many divorces does a man have?
Three.
How many divorces? Three divorces. Right? Mm-hmm. You know how it works, right? He divorces, and then there's a waiting period.
Right.
Period where she waits. She doesn't leave right away. During that waiting period, the husband can change his mind any time.
Mm-hmm.
During those 3 months, he can say, I want you back as my wife. Right? Does she have to come back? She has to. Can she say, no, I don't want to go back? During the waiting period, it's his right. They say the divorce and the taking back is the right of the husband. He can issue the divorce and he can take her back during the waiting period, during the 3 month waiting period. During that time, the husband is allowed to take his wife back. She cannot refuse. She cannot refuse. After the waiting period, the iddat is over, the 3 months is over normally, then what happens? If she's still his wife anymore, he divorced her and 3 months went by. Is she still his wife? Now she is divorced. She leaves the house. Can he take her back now? He's not allowed to take her back at this time. But what he can do is he can make a new marriage contract with her.
Right.
He can have a new marriage contract with her. And a new, there has to be a new dowry. There has to be two witnesses. There has to be the guardian and the offer and acceptance. Is that clear? So within the 3 months, he can take her back. After the 3 months is over, she's free. If he wants to take her back or he wants to get married to her again, he has to do a whole new contract. And she can refuse after 3 months to say, no, I don't want to get back. That's her right. But before the 3 months, he has the right to take her back. And this is if he issued one or two divorces. He can always take her back. But what if he issued three divorces? Three divorces. What happens after three? She's permanently forbidden. She's permanently forbidden for that man if he divorced her three times, unless she goes and marries another man, and then they have the marital relations, and he divorces her. Then after that, she can come back and get married to the first husband again. See that? So three divorces make it permanent. One divorce, it makes it, they're separate, but they can still get married again together. But if he divorced her three times, that's it. She has to marry somebody else. He has to have the relations. Cannot just get married and divorce the same day without consummating the marriage. She cannot go back. The second man has to have the marital relation, and then he goes, he divorces her on his own, and she finishes the waiting period with that man, then she can come back to the first husband if she wants and he wants to. Is that clear for everybody? Because I know these are the divorce laws are something that's not usually well understood. Is that clear, Brother Abdul Qayyim? The difference? Okay, mashallah. How about you, brother? Was it clear for you? Yeah? Brother Abdul Majid? It's okay? Understood? Okay. Okay, because this is, we're going to build on this lesson, what we talked about just now, we're going to build on that in today's dars, inshallah. What we're going to talk about today, inshallah, is we already said that the man, he has the three divorces with his wife, right? He divorced her, he can take her back. And then he divorces her again, and during the waiting period, he takes her back. He divorces her again, that's it, right? She's permanently separated from him. But the question, what we're going to talk about today is, what about if he says to her, in one wording, you are divorced three times? He does all three divorces all at once to get it done with. What happens in that case? Right? This is a... This is the question we're going to talk about. If he says that one time, you're divorced three times, does that count as three or does it count as just one? This is the issue we're going to talk about. Right. Right, we're gonna talk about it, inshallah ta'ala. Actually, this is an issue that there is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama on. But let's read the hadith about it together, and then we'll discuss the explanation, inshallah ta'ala. The hadith is narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and his father, who said that كان الطلاق على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر وسنتين من خلافة عمر طلاق الثلاث واحدة فقال عمر بن الخطاب إن الناس قد استعجلوا في أمر كانت لهم فيه أناه فلو أمضيناه عليهم فأمضاه عليهم رواه مسلم. Here in the Hadith, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the divorce during the time of Abu Bakr, the three-time divorce. Somebody, he says, divorced three times during the time of Abu, the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the time of Abu Bakr, and 2 years during the Khilafah of Umar. The three divorces, they counted as one. Yes. They counted as one. But then Umar, after 2 years of his Khilafah, Umar, he said, people are hastening to say divorce so much. They're saying three divorces easily and taking it very leniently. You know, as if it doesn't mean anything. So he said, maybe we should cause it to count three times. He said, maybe we should cause it to count three times. Because in the past they used to take it slowly, they used to be careful with these words. But now, since people are taking it for granted that three will count as one, let's make all three count as three. Right? This is what Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said. And so then he commanded that the three divorces count as three. As three. This hadith was narrated by Imam Muslim. Okay, so this is the text of the hadith. Now the issue about the threefold divorce, the issue about issuing three divorces at one time, the scholars actually, there's been a lot of discussion about it. The first 7 centuries of Islam, this issue wasn't really talked about too much. From the time of Umar until the 7th century of Hijra, all of the ulama, they had pretty much agreed that the three would count as three. This was almost completely agreed upon. There's a few people, a few individual scholars who said that differently. But almost for 7 centuries, almost the whole ummah, they agreed that three would count as three. When you say, is it clear what I mean by three counting as three? If a man says to his wife, you are divorced three times, they counted it as three and that's it. She's permanently divorced. She leaves. There's no going back. That's the end. Right? Unless she marries somebody else and then he has the marital relations and he divorces her and she finishes her waiting period and then she comes back and marries her first. But other than that, for 7 centuries, from the time of Umar through the time of the four Imams, all the way until the 7th century after Hijra, 700 years after Hijra, almost the whole Ummah agreed that three divorces would count as three. So what changed in the 7th century? In the 7th century we had two great Imams. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him. And his student, anybody know the student, his student's name? Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. These two Imams, they re-examined the issue about divorcing three times, counting as three. They re-examined it. And from their time until today, there's been these two views amongst the scholars. And there's been a lot of research and fatwa about it. So, what the Shaykh said basically on this issue is that since the four Imams already agreed on this issue, on the issue of three divorces counting as three, and that they each lived in separate times and separate places, and they each looked at the evidences, and they all had powers of knowledge and understanding much greater than any of us could ever have. If all four of them agreed on this issue, Sheikh Atiyah, he said, there's not really any reason for me to go into depth about the issue. How can these four Imams agree all on the issue with no differences between them? And they lived in far different places. Imam Ahmed, he lived in Iraq. Imam Abu Hanifa, he lived in Baghdad most of his life. Imam Shafi lived in part of his time in Mecca, part of his time in Egypt. Imam Malik, he lived in Medina. But all four of them, they agreed on this issue that three counts as three. So the Shaykh, he said, there's no reason. They had much more knowledge, much more insight, much more ability to give a judgment in ijtihad than we can have today. So he said, I don't think that it's worth digging into the issue and researching it too much. And he said about the two imams that differed from the two scholars, Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah. They differed from the four madhahib, right? Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim, they said three divorces count as one. They count as one. They differed from the four madhahib. He said the reason for that, they had a reason why they differed from the whole ummah of 7 centuries. They had a reason for that. And the reason was that when you look at Islamic history, one of the darkest ages of Islamic history was from the 5th to the 7th century Hijri. 700 years after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Islam had become, the Ummah had become very much away from the piety and righteousness that it had in the early centuries. And so what you found, and what Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah found, is that a lot of people, they would divorce their wife three times at once. And since they counted as three, they would regret it. They say, oh, my whole family, I divorced my wife, I got upset, but I shouldn't have done that. So what did they used to do? They used to go and hire a person to marry his wife and have the relations with her, astaghfirullah, then divorce her, and then, can you get married to her after that? After the second man married her and divorced her.
Yeah.
Now they can get back again. This is called the muhallil marriage. He's only marrying her to make her halal for her first husband. Right? You see, when he divorced her three times, he cannot stay with her anymore, right? So what did he do? He would go and find a person, and he would pay him, and he would say, I want you to marry this woman. And so then the person, he would marry that woman. Then he'd come back the next day, and he would say, I'm going to pay you to divorce her. Or I want you to divorce her. So then he would divorce her, and then after that, he could get married to her then. Why did he do all of this strange procedure? In order to correct the initial mistake he made, which was divorcing her three times at once. He went through all this. First he divorced her three times, that's one mistake. Then he made her marry somebody else, that's another mistake. Then he made her have the relations and divorce her, that's a third mistake, in order to take her back. So what did Ibn Taymiyyah say? He said when this happens so much in the society, he said it would be a lot better if we considered three divorces as one. If three divorces count as one, no need for all of this trickery. You know, go and marry another man and then have him divorce her and bring her back. He could say three counts as one and he can keep his wife after that. So he gave a fatwa. He gave the ruling that three will only count as one divorce. If he says, I divorced you three times, it would only count one time.
In other words, you got to do it 9 times before you make three.
If he did it 9 times, yeah, that would be too much. He doesn't deserve to keep the wife after that, perhaps.
Probably not a lower technique.
So that was a way that Ibn Taymiyyah addressed an issue that was occurring in his day and age. So just like Omar, initially he addressed an issue in his day and age. People were taking divorce too lightly. They were saying, oh, you know, I divorce you. And they took it as, they used to take their time and divorce one, you know, think about it before they issued divorce. Now they were taking it lightly. Three is going to count as one anyway, so who cares? Let me divorce her three times at one sitting. Right? So Omar, he wanted to stop that attitude that people were having. So he changed it to make three count as three. Ibn Taymiyyah, basically, he undid what Omar did.
Yeah.
He made the three go back, make three count as one, according to his understanding of the evidence from the Quran, where Allah says, At-talaqu marratan. Divorce is two times, meaning that one time after another. Not in a row, not all at once, but you divorce, take her back. Divorce again, take her back, divorce her a third time. Not like you can just say all three at one time. That was Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah's understanding. So this is the kind of the history behind the ruling of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah of why he said three counts as one. But the rest of the imams and the rest of the ummah, they all agree that three counts as the four imams of the four madhab, they say the three divorces count as three. In Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, they didn't reject the other view. They never criticized the people that said three counts as three. And they said they made that fatwa for a reason. That was what the scholars they say about that view. So, because of that decadence that they saw in the society, people were going to this bad behavior of paying somebody to marry his wife and have this relation with her and then divorce her, in order to get around that and solve a problem that really existed in the society, he gave the fatwa on that issue. So this was the reasoning behind Ibn Taymiyyah's view. However, when we look at the issue in this class, we try to come up with we try to look at what the Shaykh said is the strongest view. And the Shaykh, he said that if we consider that the four madahib all agree on the issue, that three divorces count as three, and also if we consider that the High Council of Scholars in Jeddah, they also came and they had a meeting, a discussion. What they have is what they call fiqh councils, where they have the High Council of Ulama in Riyadh. And they came together, and this council, they have three permanent members, and they have other members of the high scholars in Saudi Arabia and other places. They're part of that council. All of them agreed that the divorce of three in one sitting counts as three, just like the four madhahib. They all agreed to that as well. So in the past, the four madhahib said that, and even today, the council of the high scholars in Riyadh, they said it counts as three, with the exception of Shaykh Ibn Baz. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he had some reservation. He said he didn't agree. He said three should only count as one, just like Ibn Taymiyyah said. And the other ulama, they wrote to Shaykh Ibn Baz with the evidences, and there's so many proofs that they gave responding to his view on that issue. So the Shaykh here, he says that the proof. Now, if we look at the proofs, just for the purpose of the fiqh, of understanding, so we understand the ruling based on the evidence. Fiqh, the meaning of the word fiqh is knowing the rulings of things based on their sharia evidences. This is what the meaning of fiqh is. Fiqh is not just to know this is haram, this is haram. Everybody, they might know that this is haram, this is haram. But would you call that person faqih? He's a scholar, a knowledgeable person of the rulings. What a faqih means is that what the definition of fiqh is, somebody who knows the ruling of things based on their evidences in the sharia. And this is what is very, very beneficial for us to learn. The Prophet ﷺ said, if one, Allah loves good for a person, He gives him the fiqh, the understanding of the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So let us look at a couple of the evidences that the ulama, they mention on this issue. For one, the scholars, they say that when you look in the Islamic history, for the first 7 centuries. And if you look amongst the Sahaba, all of the Sahaba and all of the Tabi'in, the students of the Sahaba, and all of the people of their time agreed that 3 divorces would count as 3. They all agreed on that. Even the narrator of this hadith that we read, that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ counted as 1, in Abu Bakr's time it counted as 1, in Umar's time he made it count as 3 after the second year of his khilafah. So even the narrator of his hadith, Ibn Abbas himself, he says that 3 should count as 3. So it was the agreement of the Sahaba. It was the agreement of the Tabi'in, and many of the scholars, they say that it was the agreement of the whole Ummah. The whole Ummah. So here's one of the strong evidences. Number 2 is that we talked a while ago about a hadith about a woman who could not stay with her husband. She couldn't tolerate the marriage with him. And if you recall in the hadith, it was a hadith of the wife of Thabit. And she said, I couldn't bear to stay in marriage with him. I don't want to commit kufr. I don't want to be ungrateful to him. So the Prophet ﷺ said, give him his garden back that he gave you, and tell him to divorce you one time. Divorce you one time. So this hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahabi divorce her one time, that means that if he wanted, he could have divorced her 2 times or 3 times. Right? He didn't say divorce her. He said divorce her one time. Right? So this is an evidence that divorcing in one sitting, if he said 2 times or 3 times, it would have counted as 2 or 3 times. That's one of the proofs that they use. Also, when we look at this hadith itself, that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, 3 counted as 1, and in the time of Abu Bakr, 3 counted as 1, and in 2 years of Umar's Khilafah, 3 counted as 1. The Shaykh, he said that this hadith, it has a contradiction within the hadith itself. And the contradiction is, would, if the Prophet ﷺ commanded something, that 3 would count as 1, would Umar have the right to change what the Prophet ﷺ commanded? Could Umar come and say, I'm going to change what the Prophet ﷺ taught. I'm going to make 3 count as 3. Would that really make sense? Would Umar have the right, the authority to make halal what Allah made, to make something haram that Allah made halal, or vice versa? This is a serious issue, right? Divorce is a very, very serious issue. The family life is based on it, or destroyed. So Umar, would he be able to change what the Prophet ﷺ taught in terms of whether a divorce counts or not? What do you think?
Was he able to change it?
He would not be able to do that. That's why the Shaykh is saying this hadith, it is weak in its meaning. Right? The hadith, he's responding to this hadith, and he's saying that we cannot really accept this hadith. Because how could Umar change what the Prophet ﷺ had taught? So the Shaykh, he said that this hadith, we cannot imagine that the Prophet would teach something, and Umar, with his taqwa and his fear of Allah and his consciousness of Allah, he would do something different than what the Prophet had taught. So this is a response that he gives to this hadith. And so Umar, he can't make it more strict than what the Prophet did. If he said 3 counts as 1, how can Umar take something that the Prophet ﷺ gave leeway in and make it more strict upon the people? That's not something that Umar would have the right to do. No. Okay? And the other thing the Shaykh said is that if we do accept the hadith, then the way we can understand it is that Umar, he said, let's make them count. The way that the Shaykh understood it is that Umar's words mean that the 3 did count, even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But he made an exception during his lifetime. He made it relaxed. So Umar was returning it back to its original ruling. He was not making a new ruling, but what he was saying is the original ruling was that three counts as three. And the Prophet ﷺ and the time of Abu Bakr, they made it easy for the people, but now he was making it go back to what the ruling should be, what it was actually, what Allah has commanded, which is three. Each divorce counts in and of itself. Is that clear? That what the Shaykh said here. Yeah? Yes.
What would that ask the guy to marry his wife? Yes. Muslim or non-Muslim?
Oh, no. He was a Muslim. Yes. Yeah. This is forbidden. He's asking about the muhallim. When somebody, he divorced his wife three times, and now he wants somebody else to marry his wife and then divorce her after some time. Yeah, the one who did this in the time of the Prophet, he was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. It happened in Mecca. It actually happened in the time of Umar also. And Umar, interesting story is that the man, he hired a person to marry his ex-wife. So then he paid him and he married his ex-wife. So then the man, he was a Muslim, right?
Yeah,
of course, yeah. Muslim woman can only marry a Muslim. So then the man, he came back the next day after he married her and he said, here's some money and I want you to divorce her. So then the man refused to divorce her. He said, I don't want to divorce her. So then the first husband, he went and complained to Umar. And he said that, he explained the story. He said, I had married her. I had told this other man to marry her so that after a couple of days I'll tell him to divorce her so I can get back to the other one. So the second husband came, and Umar, he told the second husband, he said, if you divorce her, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to beat you. He said, you shouldn't be doing this, you know? You keep her. Because this is not something that is allowed. And then Umar, he said some words like, you know, this is like hiring a rooster, a borrowed rooster or something like that. He made from, you know, some... It's the Prophet ﷺ forbade that. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he forbade the marriage of... He said, Allah curses the man who makes the woman permissible for her first husband. Allah curses them. La'an Allah al-muhallim wal-muhallim al-muhallim. Allah curses the second husband, and He curses the first husband for hiring that person. They both get the curse of Allah. Right? This is not, it's not allowed. It's haram. No. And many of the ulama, they say that, and this is the majority of the view, is that if he, the second man, he marries her, and he knows that he's going to divorce her, so she can go back to her first husband, and he's just doing it for money, they say that the marriage doesn't even count. The whole marriage is not acceptable. It's zina. And Umar, he was very, very strict. He said, if somebody brings me the muhallim, the one who's marrying a woman just for making her halal for her previous husband, he said, I will do the rajam on that person. The had for the adultery. The stoning. He was very strict. Yeah. Very strict about that. The Hanafi school, they say that the marriage counts, but they have both have the curse of Allah upon them. So it's very bad in either case. It's a very, very big sin to do that. No. Alright. So, any questions up to here? About the issue here about the... So we see that the two views and the evidence, we saw the evidence that they say that three divorces should count as three. It was the view of all the Sahaba, of the Tabi'een. It was the view of the four Imams. And we have many narrations that also confirm that. Okay, so should we take a break here? Okay, we'll take a few minutes break, inshallah. And come back, and inshallah, in a few minutes, inshallah. Is there any questions to hear?
Sorry, I can confuse yes. a little bit.
Okay, good. Yes. Yes. But you know, remove the confusion, inshallah.
Practice, you know.
Okay.
So when during the time of this Sahaba, you know, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when this incident that this person is hiring this other person to marry,
yes,
is they supposed to go to an imam or somebody in authority before the marriage could come?
Okay, in Islamic law, you don't have to have an imam to perform marriage. All it requires is the guardian and the husband. The guardian, he offers a daughter or the woman, and the man accepts. Two witnesses, that's it. You don't need to have an imam there. But I think what you're getting at is, shouldn't the imam have not allowed them to get married, right?
If there's like imam, the guardian and everything, yeah, you know, it's not like going up to him.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. The issue here in the time of Umar, perhaps the guardian didn't know the intentions of that second husband. Maybe they didn't even tell the wife, right? So maybe the first husband, he went and hired this person, and he said, go and propose to my ex-wife. And he didn't even tell, the first wife didn't even know it. And then, this is a possibility, Allahu A'lam. And then, they got married, and then he told him he wanted to divorce the wife. And then, after that, it would have been allowed for them to get back together. Did the wife know about it? Did the guardian of the wife know about it? I don't know. I don't know if they knew about it or not. I'm not sure if they were. But you know, the issue here is that some guardians would do it. Some guardians would do it because she might have many kids from the first husband. So he might say, you know, this is the only way to get them back together. He would allow it. And so the sin would be on the guardian as well as on the first husband and the second husband. Does that make sense here? Because, you know, oftentimes when this happens, if you think about it realistically, a man, he got upset, he divorced his wife three times, and they have a lot of kids together. Maybe they were married for 10, 20 years. So it becomes a huge problem. So the husband and the wife and even the guardian might not care about, you know, trying to play this, do this forbidden type of marriage, muhaddad marriage, just so they can get back together again in the future. So, you know, there are people that would do that. They have very little fear of Allah. Yes.
So, once you announce it, you just announce that you divorce it three times and that's it?
Ah, okay. In Islamic law, the divorce, the way it takes place, is the divorce is the right of the husband. It's the right of the husband. And the way he issues a divorce is by speaking, by saying to his wife, or even to saying it, I divorce my wife. I have divorced my wife. Or he can say to his wife, Anti Talaq, you are divorced. So those words, they are very, very serious words. In Islamic law, they count as a divorce. So if he does this once, she's divorced one time. If he says it three separate times, you're divorced, you're divorced, you're divorced, then each one would count. You're divorced three times, she's divorced three times. This is the strongest view, inshallah. Is that clear? So divorce is verbal, just like the contract, you know, the marriage is also verbal. You don't have to write it down. He says, the father says, I marry you, my daughter. The husband says, I accept. It's verbal. So making the contract and breaking the contract is also done verbally. If he writes it down, he writes a letter to his wife. Dear wife, you're divorced. The letter, the scholars, they say that the letter counts as long as he had the intention. He had the intention. See, the words, they say you don't look at the intention because the words are very clear. But they say writing, there's some ambiguity. Maybe he was typing and by accident he said he wrote the word divorce instead of, you know, divide, you know, something else. So he wrote it by accident. So then they say the writing, you have to look at the intention of the person. Even they say that the writing, it's not as you have to go and ask the person who wrote it, did you really mean divorce? But the speech, if he says, you are divorced, there's no joking about it. That's it. It counts as a divorce. Yes.
He has to stay away from her in the same bed, you know, like issue like that for so many days?
That's right. That's right. If he divorces her,
announce it.
Okay.
It's just one slip and that's it.
Actually, yes. The divorce, when he divorces her, he can divorce her when she's in a state of purity and he didn't touch her. This is the halal time, right? We talk about sunnah. Or if she's pregnant, he can just say, I divorce you. But if she's in the menses, or she's in a purity, but he had a marital relation, it's haram to tell her the divorce. It's haram. He shouldn't do it at that time. But if he doesn't, we already talked about last time, it still counts. Is that clear? So, and anyways, I mean, the issue of saying the divorce, I know I maybe are a little bit surprised. Okay, he just says you're divorced and that's it. Divorce should not be done hastily. And it should be thought about. We read the hadith that the most hated halal thing to Allah is divorce. And why did Allah give the man the divorce, the right to divorce, not the woman? Why do you think?
They were
wiser. They are? Men are supposed to be wiser. Their aql is supposed to be in control of their emotions. Whereas women, oftentimes, their emotions overcome their thinking. So what about today when you have men whose emotions overwhelm their thinking, their aql? So they don't deserve that, right? So they, what men should do, Allah gave them this right, but they should use it discreetly and wisely. You should not hasten for the divorce. It's a last resort, always. After all the other options have been dealt with, then in the end, he cannot rectify the situation, so then the man, he does have that right. Shouldn't be used as a threat towards the wife, in a fit of anger. She didn't cook, she didn't put enough salt in the dinner. You're divorced. She broke a nice cup or a nice plate. You're divorced. It shouldn't be used that way. That's not why Allah gave the man the right of divorce. The man is supposed to think more coolly and rationally, whereas the woman, she has a more emotional nature. This is the way Allah created her. From a curved rib, right? You know the hadith. Woman, she has a curved rib. You cannot straighten her out without breaking her. And breaking her, the Prophet said, is divorce. So women by nature, they're emotional. So Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom, He didn't put the right of divorce in her hand. Because she might use it hastily. Whereas the man, normally speaking, the man is supposed to be more rational, more calm. He's supposed to not get overwhelmed by his emotions. He should think rationally about it, weigh the situation, and then use it only in the last resort. Inshallah. Yes.
You see, the way the perspective that we look at like divorce, like the society we live, I mean, we know Islam permits us for 4 wives. Hmm. But most of the time we look at it in a narrow way that it's only one and one, that's it.
Hmm.
And during the time, you know, of the Sahaba, during the time, there were like four wives.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or
yes.
More than one.
Yes. 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 Okay, so the can you, what is the question?
My question is, you know, before we think about divorce, like in society,
no.
We think about divorce, we always think we're not going to get another one. We are going to be out.
No.
I have a thing.
Let me do.
Let me try to answer his question here. If I understand your question correctly. In the time, you're saying that the divorce was easier in the time of the Sahaba because they had more than one wife, and it wasn't they didn't have as much of a need to worry about divorcing the wife. Well, the thing is, in Islam, the Islamic laws for all times and all places, you know, and you know, if we can't go by society's customs and cultures, we have to go sit by the Islamic law, because there's a great wisdom in it. Now, some people, they think that, you know, today there's no need for, it shouldn't be permissible to man to marry more than one wife. But that belief is, whenever people, they try to change what Allah has commanded, they create problems in the society. Because Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom, He knows the nature of human beings. When you make something halal, haram, people will find haram ways to fulfill what they need to do. And the wise woman, she would not object to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because she knows that this is better for herself and for the society. And we mentioned before that there was a woman, she preferred to get married to an older man who was already married. She's a young woman, even though many young bachelors had proposed to her. And then when the other women were surprised, they asked her. She said that he's mature, he's reliable, he's stable, he takes care of his family. Some young bachelors, they don't know how to take care of their family. They're always out all night, fooling around, not responsible. So even for the woman, it might be more wiser for her. And to think about in the society, how many women are not married. All over the world you go now, so many women are without husbands. You have widows at times of war, so many widows. So it's better for a woman to be under half a man than under nobody. At least she gets, her provision is taken care of, she's provided for, she has a tent to protect her, you know, and it's better than her being all alone without anybody to take care of her. So there's a wisdom in that. But definitely, you know, even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, divorce was not taken lightly. The Prophet ﷺ, he did not... that's why he said أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ. Even though there's some weakness in the hadith, there's another hadith which is also weak, that the throne of Allah shakes when somebody divorces his wife. But it's also weak. But the meaning is that one should be very careful about it, inshallah ta'ala. So let's yes, and I hope we refer back and remember that we always have to be, there has to be justice in treating the wives, inshallah ta'ala. So, khair inshallah. I hope that jazakallah khair for the comment, inshallah. So we'll take a break, inshallah ta'ala. We'll come back in like 5-10 minutes, inshallah. What was it? Alhamdulillah. Brother, during the break, mashallah, the brother had a good point. He said that in the time of the Prophet, we're talking about how the Prophet, he had married, you know, had nine wives actually. And he married Aisha. But he said the Prophet, he was not like us. His adab, his akhlaq, his iman, his taqwa, his fear of Allah, his justice, you know, was much, much greater than any of us. So when we say that, you know, that he married, you know, Aisha, etc., we should always realize that even though their age difference, he was still able to respect her, and she was able to benefit from his company and learn the knowledge, and she was very, very intelligent. And we should always understand that. So normally when the marriage, the age should be somewhat close. Know, not so far apart, as the Shaykh mentioned, that, you know, Allah says that the women are clothing for you and you are clothing for them. So that means the clothing, you can have your clothing much bigger than you are and not too small. The clothing should fit each other, inshallah ta'ala. So that's a good point. Jazakallah khair. Should we start? Yes.
So is there an age restriction on marriage?
There's no age restriction per se, but there's some compatibility should be taken into account. It should be considered when the guardian, he looks for a husband for his daughter, for his sister, you should look for somebody. As Allah says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ. They are clothing for you and you are clothing for them. So the clothing, if it's cut too short or if it's too long, doesn't fit properly. It's too tight, too loose. The husband is like big like a mountain and the wife is thin like a, you know, a pole. You know, it's not really compatibility, right? So the compatibility, what I'm going to say first and foremost, is in the religion, the deen, that they should look for a pious person who fears Allah Ta'ala. And then, you know, you can look at the other things, the beauty, the wealth, the family status. But the deen should always be the determinant after, inshallah ta'ala. And the age difference, the sociologists, they say that the ideal age of a woman towards a husband is half the husband's age plus 6. There's some scientists that came up with this formula. So if the husband's like 30, they said the ideal wife should be half, which is 15 plus 6, like 21, something like that. If he's 20, then the ideal wife would be half, which is 10 plus 6, 16. If he's 50, then the ideal wife would be 25 plus 6, 31. Like this. This was some scientists that came up, or sociologists. So there would be compatibility and respect. But in Islamic law, they don't have that restriction. That's not what the scholars say, but they say they should be compatible with each other. So that the husband can understand the wife, and she can understand him, and they can take care of each other and be kind to each other, inshallah. Khair, inshallah. So if it's okay, we'll go to the next hadith. InshaAllah ta'ala. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, ala rasulullah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina, amma muzinna ilma wa faqihna fi deen. Welcome back, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we were talking about in the previous session about the divorce that is three divorces issued in one sitting. A man says to his wife, you are divorced three times. Right? And just a few more points on that issue. Ibn Abbas, he is one of the most knowledgeable of the Sahaba, and he narrated the hadith about how the three counted as one in the time of the Prophet and Umar. And 2 years, Abu Bakr, and 2 years from Umar. Ibn Abbas, somebody came to him and he said, I divorced my wife 100 times. 100 times. So he said, can you give me a way out? Can you give me a way out? So what did Ibn Abbas tell him? He said, she is forbidden for you by three. And the other 97 are against you. The other 97 are, you were trying to hurt her or beat, so they're against you. And then he said, Allah says, if you fear Allah, He gives you a way out. You didn't fear Allah, so there's no way out for you. So this was his response. So Ibn Abbas himself, he gave the fatwa that the three was against him. And then you look at his one of the issues the Shaykh mentioned is that this is an issue. Like Umar Ibn al-Khattab is saying, we are going to make it count as three. So Umar, if we say that the hadith is correct, he's saying we, meaning he's speaking to a group of Sahaba. Umar, he didn't make such a major issue, he would have spoken to a huge number of Sahaba around him. And they would have all narrated this hadith, that Umar is making it three, and it was one before. But we find only Ibn Abbas had narrated this hadith in this particular chain. And the scholars, they say that when you have an issue that is a big issue, you know, a major issue in the religion, and only one Sahabi narrated it, they considered this a kind of criticism of the hadith. No, if you have such an issue like divorce, and only one person narrates it, when there's hundreds of thousands of Sahaba, then they consider that a kind of some kind of weakness in the hadith. And then also the another issue that we see is that Ibn Abbas's students, the one who narrated this, Ibn Abbas, he had hundreds of students. But only one of his students narrated this hadith. His name is Taghus. Only one person narrated it. And then you see that this view would contradict all of the other Sahaba. And the scholars, they say that when you have a view contradicting, you have a person contradicting many, many other people that are more reliable than he is, then this is called shadh, which means strange or aberrant, right? If, and they give the example that if the imam was giving a khutbah and something happened, he came down from the minbar in the middle of the khutbah, or he fell from the minbar, and the whole group was there watching, you know, hundreds of people, and only one person narrated the incident. Only one person narrated the incident. They consider this something, the type of weakness, because there should have been more than one person who saw the event when so many people were witnessing. And they also say that if many other people who are more reliable than you, they contradict you, then we should go by those people who are more reliable. Like say that somebody comes in from outside and he says it's raining, right? And he's a trustworthy person. But then 100 other people come in and they all say it's not raining. So what do we say about the person who said it's raining? What do we say about his speech? Questionable, right. We call it shad, strange. We don't say he's a liar, because in and of himself he's a trustworthy person, he's a good person. You know, the Sahaba, they're trustworthy. We cannot say that he said something wrong, but we say it's a strange narration. It's strange, it's contradicting what is more authentic than it. So this is another reason why the Shaykh said that this hadith cannot be used as proof that the one, three divorces count as one. Also he said that, of course, the four imams said three counts as three. Alright, so we can go to the next hadith, which is also on this topic, inshaAllah ta'ala. وعن محمود ابن ربيد قال أخبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن رجل طلق امرأته ثلاث تطليقات جميعا فقام غضبان ثم قال أيلعب بكتاب الله تعالى وأنا بين أظهركم حتى قام رجل وقال يا رسول الله ألا أقتلوه رواه النسائي ورواته موثقون. So this hadith, the Sahabi Mahmud ibn Walid, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told about a man who divorced his wife three times in one sitting. He said, "You're divorced three times." So then the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up angry and he said, "Are people playing with the book of Allah and I am still amongst you? Are people playing with the book of Allah, making three divorces in one city, and I am still amongst you?" And then another Sahabi got up and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, should I kill him? Should I kill that person?" So the Prophet ﷺ, he remained silent. Okay. So here in this hadith, we see that a person, he divorced his wife three times in one sitting. And the Prophet ﷺ, what did he do? He became very upset, very angry. And he said, "Are people playing with the book of Allah?" Because Allah says in the Quran, divorce is two times, and then the third one they separate, but they stay together. But this person, he did all three at once. So he became very angry. And he stood up. So here the scholars, they say that if three divorces only counted as one, would the Prophet ﷺ have gotten upset?
No.
Would he have gotten up and gotten angry? No. So this is a strong proof that the three count as three. And also, when the man stood up and he said, "Should I kill him? Should I kill that person who did three divorces in one sitting?" The Prophet ﷺ, he remained silent. So he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no either. He remained silent to show how grave the thing he did was. To show that he had done some, He just kept quiet, which shows the gravity of the thing that he did. The thing, of course, he didn't say allow him to do that, but he wanted to show the seriousness of the thing that the person had done. Okay, we come to one more hadith, inshallah ta'ala. And this is also narrated by Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas. Who is Ibn Abbas? Mu'ad? How is he related to the Prophet ﷺ? Have a seer, do you know? Amir? Ibn Abbas. Ibn means what? Son, right? And Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. So who? Ibn Abbas, how is he related to the Prophet ﷺ? His cousin. The son of his uncle. The son of your uncle, your cousin. So Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith, that he said, Ibn Abbas himself, he said, طَلَّقَ أَبُو رُكَانَ أُمَّ رُكَانَ فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم رَاجِعْ إِمْرَأَتَكَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي طَلَّقْتُهَا ثَلَاثًا قَالَ قَدْ عَلِمْتُ رَاجِعْهَا رَوَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ. So here Ibn Abbas, he said that a man named Abu Rukana, he divorced his wife. Her name was Rukana, the mother of Rukana. So then the Prophet ﷺ was informed about that. So he said, tell Abu Rukana to take his wife back, to bring her, take her back. So then Abu Rukana, he said, I divorced her 3 times. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, I know that, take her back. Okay, so this hadith is narrated by Abu Dawood. Now, so here in this hadith, some people use this hadith to say that 3 should only count as 1. That 3 should only count as 1. But the Shaykh, he mentioned that in this hadith, we don't really know the whole circumstances behind this story. He said he divorced his wife 3 times, right? So how do we know? Maybe he did that in separate sittings. He didn't say I divorced her all 3 at one time. It could have been that he divorced her 1 time, and then some months later or years later he divorced her another time, and maybe 10 years later he divorced her another time. So it's kind of ambiguous, you know, how this divorce took place. So whenever you have ambiguity in a hadith, you can no longer use it as evidence. إِذَا وَقَعَ الْإِحْتِمَامِ بَطَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. This is one of the rulings in the Sharia. إِذَا وَقَعَ الْإِحْتِمَامِ. إِحْتِمَام means the possibility, the ambiguity, right? If there is an ambiguity in a text, بَطَلَ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ, you can no longer use that as a proof. As a proof. Right? Let me give you maybe another example. If you're in the court and the judge, he asks you for evidence, right? So you bring a document and you say, here's the evidence. But then in the cross-examination, the lawyers, they say, this paper, it looks like the date is unclear on this. You know, we're not really, the signature is not really clear on here. There's some, it could have been a signature, it could have been just something else written on there. So what is the cross-examiner trying to do? Create some doubt, right? He's trying to create doubt about that document. Once you create doubt about it, can you use it as evidence anymore? No longer use it as evidence. So the scholars, they do the same thing with the hadith. When there's a text, they say that it has to be clear and unambiguous. But if you find some ambiguities in the hadith, say, find another hadith that's clear. This hadith that has ambiguity, you can't really use it anymore as a proof. Because proofs have to be based on evidence. Evidence has to be solid evidence, not evidence that could be mistaken. No. Yes, for the sake. No.
You mentioned wasn't clear about the horses bought three times. It could be in one setting or different times.
No.
But what was the Prophet ﷺ's answer to Abu Khan? What did he tell him?
He said, take him back. Okay. Take her back.
Take her back.
No.
So he said, take her back. And you know, if somebody divorces wife three times and separate, then no longer she's lawful. Or the Prophet, you know, that he's not going to tell them to take her back.
Right.
So maybe that could be evidence he did do it at the same time.
Right. Well, that's the problem here. You're trying to use this hadith as a proof that three counts as one. Right? That's why you would bring this hadith. So you have to, when you're saying that he said take her back, if you're trying to, you have to prove that he's allowing her to take her back after he issued three divorces in one sitting. If you want to use this as proof that three counts as one, then you have to make sure that this hadith is regarding the issue of three divorces in one sitting. Maybe this hadith is on a totally different concept, you know, related to a person who divorced his wife three times on different occasions. Maybe he was angry on one of the occasions. Maybe he was, you know, there could be so many other possibilities. But nowhere in the hadith does it say he divorced her three times in one sitting.
That's not true. But we know in the Quran and the Prophet the Quran mentioned if you divorce your wife three times, which you could be, let's say, separate three times, no way you could bring her back. That's fact. Isn't it? That's what the Quran, if you divorce your wife three times, she's no more love with you. Until she married somebody else, he divorced her, then you could bring her back. Because the Prophet said he could bring her back. That is a strong proof. He didn't divorce her three separate times because otherwise the Prophet would not say that.
There could be other possibilities of interpretation. There could be other possibilities. The Shaykh didn't really go into it. He just said that there's no way, it doesn't say that he divorced her three times in one sitting. The Prophet didn't say three counts as one. But it could be, say he was, on the other two occasions, he was in a high state of anger or rage. Right? And with the ulama, they all agree that a person who divorced his wife in a state of rage, in a fit of rage, doesn't count. There's other possibilities, you know, that the Shaykh, he didn't really state them. But the point is that, you know, the hadith is not clear that this has to do with three divorces in one sitting. That's the main point why we don't really rely upon that hadith. Now, there are some that use it. You know, there are some people, that's why Shaykh Ibn Hajar mentioned it in this chapter. But he's giving his view, and he's responding to the view of those who use it as evidence and saying that this is not strong evidence. It is an evidence, but it's not strong. It's not something that we can say it's qat'iyya, al-thabut, wa-dalal. Because some evidences, they call them dhanni. Dhanni means it has some evidence in it, but it's not qat'i. Qat'i means there's no ambiguity whatsoever. And here in this hadith we have it's ambiguous in two ways. One is that the text is ambiguous, because it doesn't say that it was three divorces in one sitting. And the chain itself, when we see in the next narration by Ahmad, that Imam Ahmad, he narrated the same hadith, and he said, طَلَّقَ أَبُو رُكَانَ إِمْرَأَتَهُ فِي مَجْلِسٍ وَاحِدٍ ثَلَاثًا فَحَزِنَ عَلَيْهَا. See, here Imam Ahmad, he narrates the same story. He says that Abu Rukana divorced his wife in one sitting, and he was sad. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا وَاحِدًا. It is one. But here's the issue. In his chain is Ibn Ishaq وَفِيهِ مَقَال. وَفِيهِ مَقَال. So there's a doubt also in the chain of the other hadith. And then the Shaykh, he said, when you have the ijma of the four imams, of the four madahib, can you use a hadith that has weakness in its chain to contradict all four imams that lived in different ages, in different lands. They all agreed that three counts as three. It's kind of hard to do that. It's hard to have that proof now. Because fihi maqal, that means that there's some of the scholars of hadith, they talked about the hadith and they said that there's some doubt about one of the narrators in our hadith. And when you have a doubt about the narrator of the hadith, then you cannot rely upon the hadith, because this is again dhanni ath-thubut. So in order for an evidence to be relied upon absolutely, it has to be dhanni, that has to be qat'i ath-thubut, qat'i ad-dalana. That means absolute and unambiguous in terms of its authenticity. Cannot have any weakness in the chain. That's why we don't use weak hadith for rulings. And قَطْعِي الدَّلَالَةَ means that the text itself should be so clear on the issue that nobody can come and interpret it differently. It has to be absolutely clear, and only one way that it can be understood. None of the fuqaha or scholars can interpret it in a different way. And in that case, you can rely upon the text as an evidence. Otherwise, you would have to make an ijtihad on the issue. So it's a good point that you brought up. So there are those ulama that made ijtihad on this hadith, but Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salman, he said, if you look at this text in light of all of the other narrations that mentioned that three counted as three, as well as the imams, what the Shaykh said in the beginning, he said he would prefer to, when the four imams agree on an issue, he doesn't spend that much time trying to research that hadith. Because the four imams, they already researched it. He said, you can relax. The four imams agreed on something, and they are who they are and their knowledge and insight. And they all agree. None of them differ from each other. Then why are you going to tire yourself trying to re-examine what they have already examined, inshallah ta'ala? This is a good, good comment, inshallah, and I'll reward you. InshaAllah ta'ala. I think we already have 2 minutes left. 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, so in other words, the hadith is on the weak side, right?
It is. Yeah, there's one of the narrators that we cannot.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why we can't rely on that hadith, inshaAllah.
We have one hadith. If you'd like, I can finish this issue with it. Three divorces, we can say different.
No, we can continue next time, so this will
refresh for the last time. Say it in Shalom. Any other questions on this issue here? Any questions? Clear for everybody? I know some of the brothers came in a little bit late. Is the issue clear about the three divorces? So, to summarize, all of the Sahaba, the ijma, the consensus of the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een, the companions of the Tabi'een, and all of the centuries of the Muslims, including the four Imams of the Madahib, until the time of Ibn Taymiyyah, they all agreed that three divorces count as three. Then Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and his student Ibn al-Qayyim, they had an individual view, different than the Madhab, that three should count as one, and that was for a reason. There was a reason that in the 7th century there was so much corruption that people were going to do the nikah tahleel. They were making their ex-wife marry a man for money and then divorce her and then take them back. So in order to, he said that the doing all these wrongs, you know, divorcing the wife 3 times, making her marry somebody else, he has a marital relation, he divorces her, doing all of these wrongs, it's much better if he counts three as one. And even if you consider that a mistake, it's much less worse than having the person marry his wife somebody else and take her back. And so Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim, they had that view. But when you look at the history of Islam, you have the consensus or the ijma of the whole ummah on one side, you could say, other than, and you have a few individuals who said that three counts as one. Only a few individuals, like Ibn Qayyim and Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. If it wasn't for the greatness and the importance of these two imams, nobody would even consider the view that three divorces count as one. But because they are so great in their knowledge and in their piety and their ijtihad, the scholars, they debate the evidences. But other than that, we have a very, very, almost a consensus of the rest of the ummah that three counts as three, inshallah ta'ala. So with this, we will finish here, inshallah. Just one last point, very important point, is that if a person says to his wife, I divorce you three times, then the four imams, they say, counts as three. If he says, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. So here the imams say you have to look at his intention. If he meant the first divorce, you're divorced, and then the second and third time he was just emphasizing what he was saying, just to make what they call tawqeed, just to emphasize the point, you're divorced, they say it only counts as one. But if he said the second and third divorce, intending a new divorce, a second divorce and a third divorce, they count as new divorces. So if they're for tawqeed, then they count as three, building new divorces. But if it's for tawqeed, emphasis, then they don't count. Only the first divorce counts, inshallah. Next time we'll review this issue again, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.